Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, and my goal is to take you on an inspiring journey of self-discovery and relationship recovery. I'm the host of the show, but this is really all about you, and it's for you, the single woman who wants to date smart and find the love of her life. On this show, casual sex is dumb, being choosy is smart, and the prize is a healthy, loving relationship that lasts. So call in, share your dating and relationship stories, ask the questions that keep you awake at night, and get coaching. The number to call in is 347-308-8511. That's 347-308-8511. Now, stay tuned for Love Strategies.
You're listening to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, your host, live this time. And if you're joining us for the very first time, welcome to the show. And if you've listened before, I'm so glad that you are back. Tonight's show is about obstacles and dreams. Everyone has dreams, or do they? Does everyone have a dream? Do you have a dream? We're going to talk tonight about having dreams, another way to say goals, things that you aspire to in your life. And what is that about? How do you create one? How do you have one? And how do you fuel it? How do you move yourself down the road? What to do if you're having trouble even coming up with a dream? Maybe you'd like to have one, but you've never really put one together. And then secondly, what about the obstacles that get in the way of your dreams? What about the things that show up in your life that make you think, I can't do that. I can't achieve my dream. I can't move down that pathway for whatever reason. So we're going to talk about that too. We're going to talk about both sides of the equation, obstacles and dreams. Do you have a dream? Do you have a way of getting there? Do obstacles show up in your pathway? I hope that you're listening to this show with the intention of getting serious about having a dream in your life. If you're not serious about it, I hope you will be by the end of this show, because I think it is one of the most vital and important things about being human, about being alive, is that we have dreams and that we're moving toward them. One of the reasons that I chose this topic for tonight is because just a few nights ago, my husband and I were having dinner with another couple that we know really well, and we were playing a game of table topics. So we had a little card game that one of the people brought to the table, and the way it worked is you pulled a card from this little box, and every little card had a question on it. And then, of course, we run around the table, and people would answer the questions. So one of the questions that got pulled out of that little box was this one. What obstacle is in the way of you achieving your dreams? That was the question. So here we are. We're two couples. We've known each other for years and years. We're, you know, none of us are terribly young. My husband and I are in our 50s, and our friends are in their 50s and 60s. And so, you know, we're not real young kids talking about this. You know, we're a little later in life, but it was a very valid question for us. But it turned out that it was a bit uncomfortable for us to answer. It was interesting how we each responded to it. One of the people at the table said, well, I had some dreams years ago, but various things happened, and I found out, you know, that I really couldn't achieve those, and so those dreams are kind of gone for me now. Somebody else said, nothing's in the way, which is kind of a way of saying either A, I'm living my dream, or B, I just don't want to talk about this. We weren't sure which. We couldn't get him to elaborate. And somebody else said it's the voice in my head. And not naming any parties here, because it was a small group of folks, and I certainly don't want to call anybody out. But it was just so interesting to me how we struggled to answer that question, to really to really share something insightful as a result of that question. We kind of stumbled through it and we came up with some answers, but in the course of doing that, it just kind of showed me that it's not the easiest question in the world to answer. And I think it's because there are two parts to the question, and you can't really answer the entire question without breaking it down and answering both parts. And so the first part of the question is, of course, what is your dream? What are your dreams? What is it that you are aiming for, aspiring to in your life? And then the second part, of course, is what, if anything, is the obstacle that is keeping you from achieving your dream? So you can't really talk about the obstacle without declaring that there is a dream. There's no obstacle if you don't have a dream. So, and I think that the part about what is your dream is the harder part to answer. That was the part that we were stumbling around about. So tonight I'm going to challenge you a little bit with this question. Have you given yourself permission to have a dream? Do you have one? Is it clearly articulated? Do you have it written down? Are you working toward it? You know, do you have a dream? Have you given yourself that permission to have one? And then, you know, something else to think about, is it risky to have a dream? Because what if you don't achieve it? What if you have one and you can't get there, or you don't see a pathway? Or what if you see a pathway and you work really hard and go down that pathway for months or even years of your life, but you don't really achieve it? What's the risk of that? Have you ever had a dream and you didn't achieve it? You know, something that you really worked for, something that you had high hopes for, and you didn't achieve it. What was that like for you? How did you handle that? How did you respond to that? Because I think if you've ever had a dream and you didn't achieve it, you know, there's an impact there. And sometimes people give up on having dreams because they don't achieve something vitally important to them. So we're going to talk about that, the whole part about what is your dream, and then the part about what is the obstacle keeping you from achieving it. So part one, what is your dream? You know, you might be one of those rare individuals with a very clearly defined dream, and you're living it. You've known for years what it was going to be. You've worked really hard to get there. You're now living your dream. I think that's fantastic. But my experience is most people struggle to some degree with this question. That there are, you know, I know some very successful people. And I work with CEOs and executives. That's my day job. I'm an executive coach, and so I work with some really successful folks. And my experience of them is that there are parts of their dream, their goals, if you will, that they do achieve, and other parts that they don't. I've really never met anyone who is living every single thing that they ever wanted in their life. I think it's human nature that we, you know, there's some parts we struggle in, other parts come more easily for us. So, but I think the other thing is that a lot of us have never really taken the time or space to articulate a dream, or maybe you did when you were a lot younger, but then you kind of forgot to keep revitalizing your dreams as you got older. So, and it's uncomfortable, I think, to ask yourself, what is my dream, and to interact with yourself about this for a lot of different reasons. I think, you know, one is if you realize that you are living contrary to your dream, then that can be very uncomfortable. So as an example, I've worked with a lot of women over the years who have the dream of finding someone special to love and be loved by, to share their lives with. But oftentimes those women are involved with men who don't really love them, men who do not add love and joy to their lives, but rather who detract from their level of love and joy. So, and if your dream is to be with someone special to love and be loved by, but you're with someone that really doesn't love you, that's very uncomfortable. But for a lot of people, being with someone is better than being with no one. I personally found, after a lot of years of struggle, that it was far better for me to be with no one than to be with someone who is wrong for me. And it's interesting because once I came to that realization, once I got incredibly determined about my dream to be in a loving relationship, to be with someone who loves me the same way I love him, once I got clear that anything less than that was not acceptable, then I stopped. I just stopped doing it. I stopped settling for those kinds of relationships. And very shortly after that, I met my husband, my wonderful, dear husband, who I've been with now for over 11 years. So it's interesting because I think when we start compromising our dreams, when we start saying that anything will do, we start getting anything. But here's the thing. If you realize that your dream, that to achieve your dream might mean change on your part, that you might need to change some things, and you might need to change, of course, the first thing to change in any scenario is always me. It's always inside of me. The change is not out there. It's in here. It's an inside job. But change can be scary. It can be scary and uncomfortable. But change can also be exciting. And my experience is making those internal changes. You know, when I changed my attitude about men, when I changed what I was willing to settle for, a lot of things changed on the outside as well. And it can be exciting making those changes. But I get it. I get how scary it can be sometimes. You know what I've also noticed is people having a tendency to judge their dreams as not sufficient. It's not meaningful enough. It's not big enough. Well, here's a thought. Dreams don't have to be grandiose to be valid. You know, just because yours isn't about solving world hunger or making $10 million from a business doesn't mean that it doesn't matter. What matters with your dream is it is significant for you. What matters is that it is meaningful for you, but truly meaningful. And having a dream is so vitally important. It is literally the fuel for our lives. Study after study, I've looked at so many different studies on happiness over the years. What gives people joy and happiness? And it turns out that when people do not have a future goal, they don't do as well as those who do. And, you know, I'm in my 50s now, and what I'm noticing around me is that those people I know who are in my age group or maybe a little bit older who do not have any dreams, they've kind of given up on setting future goals or just kind of putting in time in their lives, they're not doing so well. They don't age very well. But those who do continue to have those dreams and recreate them are still full of energy, full of life. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about a book that I'm reading right now, written by really one of my mentors, I have to say, one of the people that helped train me to be an effective coach for CEOs. And his name is Ole Carlson, O-L-E, and that's pronounced Ole, not Ole. He makes a big joke about how people call him Ole, but it's Ole Carlson. And the book, Ole's written a couple of books, but this book is called Aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E. It's 3 powerful strategies for creating more of what you want now. And you know, one of the things that Ole says in his book is, he says, I want to own my own life, write my own story, and live my version. After I inhale my final breath, I want to then vanish, having been all used up. I can't reach that final objective if I am numbed out, driven by an insatiable ego, or directing my life to solely benefit others. A life of frustration awaits you if you allow a frightened ego, disheartened by what others have or do, to dominate you as you wind down to a state of conformity and unfulfilled dreams. Do not live in the darkened shadows of what could have been. Refuse to choose a life of quiet desperation and irreversible regret. Regret the notion. Reject, sorry, I said that wrong. Reject the notion of playing it safe for the sake of inheritance, acceptance, or obedience to others so that they might be comfortable, served, and justified. What are you choosing? What are you invested in being, doing, and having? And for what reason and rationalization? Pay attention. Be an active detective investigating your life. Your fingerprints are on all of your results. That's from Ole Carlson from the book Aspire. I really recommend that you get the book. I'm going to give you a few more little tidbits from it tonight, but the book is well worth picking up and reading for yourself and using the tools in it, because he provides some really terrific tools for creating the life that you want by having dreams and having goals and setting them and working toward them. Well, one of the studies that I read recently followed hundreds of people for decades, and this study found that those who aged in a more healthy way with more satisfaction and joy out of their lives were the ones who gave themselves challenges throughout their lives. They set goals. They worked hard toward them. They were not the ones who basically gave up on setting goals and having challenges. They were not the ones who kind of sat back and said, oh, well, you know, just let things happen. They're people who were striving for things. So it's your energy. Every year I set goals for the year. I have goals for my day job as an executive coach, and I have goals for my part-time work, writing books and promoting them. I don't always achieve my goals, but I find that the days fly by and I'm energized, continually energized in the pursuit of my goals. So, you know, one of the most typical things that people aim for is financial goals and dreams. One of the CEOs I coached pursued his financial goals for years and years. Finally, just shy of his 40th birthday, he sold his business and netted some very serious wealth. We're talking multiples of seven figures. Now, most people would say that is the dream. He did it, and now he's done. He doesn't need any other goal. He can just go out and enjoy it. But oddly, it turns out that getting something you want, particularly money, which is a result, is not particularly rewarding for people in and of itself. There is a threshold for financial achievement in life. It's however much you need to fund your lifestyle without worrying about the roof over your head, your food, and other life necessities, plus a few discretionary things. Once you hit that threshold, what you get is relief from constant worry, for the most part, unless you're just wired to worry. But it turns out that having more money than you really need does not add to the happiness quotient at all. People don't get happy that way. Study after study has shown that people who win the lottery are no happier as a result. I work with highly successful CEOs, many of whom are quite wealthy, and they will candidly say that achieving what they aim for hasn't given them any more happiness in life. But they will say that working toward those goals for years and years gave them a lot of satisfaction. And you know what? They keep setting more. They always set more. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually healthy to do that. Below that threshold, though, that threshold of having enough to take care of your life necessities, below that you're consumed with survival. You can't help but be constantly worried about where you're going to get the money for your grocery bill, how are you going to pay your rent, how are you going to buy gas for your car. Those survival issues will chew up all of your available mental and emotional energy. But once you hit that threshold, you may not give up worry, you probably won't, but your worries shift to a higher level. And then, you know, maybe in a down economy, you might be a bit fearful, but now your worries are more about, you have a lot more energy available with which to set goals and move toward them. Above that threshold, when you get significantly above that, your anxiety may lift. You may find that you don't really have those money worries anymore, but your happiness level does not really change. And here's the thing. No matter what you achieve financially, you have to keep putting something else in front of you. It doesn't have to be another monetary goal. It could be something very different. It could be a goal around starting a second career. One of my friends was in the financial services industry for many years. He was a financial advisor, worked for a very large firm, was quite successful, made a lot of money, telling other people how to invest their money. But he had a dream, and the dream was to be a photographer. And he reached a point in his career that he made enough money and he saved enough money, and he had a wife who also had her business. And so he reached a point, and they came to a decision together that it was time for him to go fulfill his dream. So he left that industry, left corporate America for good, and he became a absolute world-class photographer, primarily of natural settings in some of the more remote parts of the world, Africa, British Columbia, way back in British Columbia, parts of Russia that people don't often go to, places like that. And his photography is just stunning. And he's created a complete second career at it. So, and that's, to me, one of the best examples of somebody really living his dream. Turns out that's where the real fuel is. That's what's important to us. So we're going to keep talking about this. We'll come back. We're going to take a short break. After the break, we'll talk a little bit more about having dreams, why they're so important, what to do about it, especially what to do about it if you're struggling to come up with what your dream is or should or could be. I'm going to give you a few tools that you can use to get started on that. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Nina Atwood. Does this sound familiar to you? You start a new relationship full of hope that maybe this time he's the one. But weeks, months, or even years later, you realize that although the name and face have changed, the story is the same. He's all wrong for you, and now you have to continue suffering or start all over. Well, you don't have to keep repeating the same old patterns. If you want to raise your relationship game and put yourself on a whole new course for a happy, healthy, lasting love, get Temptations of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid. This is a self-help book like no other. It's a parable, an easy, fast story you can read in 2 to 3 hours. The fact that it's a story and not just dry, boring data means you'll retain the lessons learned far longer. And the more you retain, the greater the changes you'll be able to make in your life. That's why I wrote it this way, to make it easy for you to get what you need to permanently alter your love life for the better. You can get the book by clicking on the book cover right from the show page, or you can go to singlescoach.com, find the tab for books and tapes, then click on Singles Coach A Store. Temptations of the Single Girl is available through Amazon.com and as a Kindle book. And now back to more love strategies.
You're listening to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, your host, and we're talking tonight about dreams and obstacles. So having a dream is so very important for life. It's really fuel for life. But here's the thing. Having a dream that is only about a result like money may not be enough. It seems that having a sense of purpose is even more important than a specific goal, such as making a certain amount of money, or one of the ones I hear a lot from people is getting married. Single people often tell me, finding someone and getting married and having a family, that's what I want. That's my goal in life. Nothing wrong with that. But I think it's important to have a deeper sense of purpose, to have a sense that you're walking along a certain path in life, that there's something deep inside of each one of us that says, this is my path. This is what I'm about in my life. Again, it doesn't have to be grandiose. It needs to be significant for you. And it's important that you are doing it, that you are working toward that, whatever that thing is deep inside of you that says, this is my life purpose, this is my path. I heard Oprah say the other day on her show, if you don't do what is in your heart to do, it will kill you because you will die a little bit every day. That's how important it is. So what if you don't have a clear dream, something that a sense of purpose, something that you're working toward, but you know you want one? Well, there are ways to get there. There are ways to begin to access your dreams. Even if you don't have it clearly articulated, you can begin to get there. So let me give you a few things that I think make a difference in helping you uncover what your dream is or the dream is for your life. One is that you have to create the time and space for reflection in order to get to things like that. You can't just have the television blaring all the time and other noise and chaos going on in your environment. You can't be constantly 100% of the time rushing from one task to the next, rushing off to work, rushing home again, getting stuff done in your house, taking care of other people. You have to carve out that time and space for self-reflection. So turn off the television, get away from the chaos, and give yourself some quiet time. I call it quiet time. I do it in the mornings. I take a space of time without distractions, and I journal. Journaling is a powerful tool to begin to access what it is that is deep inside of you to be doing with your life. And journaling doesn't have to be anything specific or anything fancy. It's just really just picking up a piece of paper and having a pen, doing a little bit of meditating or reading in books that inspire you, and then write whatever comes into your mind. That's journaling. And over time, journaling begins to reveal things to you. The other thing you can do is take a personal retreat. I have a friend who once every year goes off for 5 to 7 days by himself. Even though he's married, he goes by himself and literally goes and doesn't do any business planning, takes walks on the beach, gets quiet, meditative, self-examining, and what does my life need to be about next year? So a personal retreat can really help you do that. And the other thing is give yourself visual stimulation to create inspiration around what your dreams are. One of the exercises I've done a lot of times in workshops and with groups is to get magazines with beautiful images of places and things that you want to fill your world with and cut out the ones that are the most inspiring to you. Paste them in your journal, put them on a poster board and stare at them. We're so wired visually in terms of how we access creativity that you need stimulus for that. Another thing that you can do to help you get to what your dreams are, what it is that you want them to be or a sense of purpose in your life is to get a life coach. A good life coach will ask you the questions that you need to stimulate your creative processes to cause you to be more self-aware and more self-reflective so you can get to this stuff. And I have a great coach on my staff. And if you go to singlescoach.com and click on personal coaching, follow the links to personal coaching, I will introduce you to my life coach, the life coach on my staff. Her name is Bonnie. She's absolutely wonderful as a coach, and she will help you do that. The other thing about accessing what you want your dreams to be is to let it evolve over time. Don't try to force it. Don't try to push it. Let it unfold. All right, the second part of the question is, what obstacle is really in the way of you achieving whatever your dream is? So once you have put together and begun to articulate for yourself what your dream ought to be, then you're going to find, of course, because it's the nature of life, things will get in the way. You'll have issues around time. That's one of my big ones. I just don't have time to get all this stuff. I literally have more ideas in a given week or month than I could possibly ever execute. My biggest challenge is narrowing my options down, narrowing down the opportunities that arise for me, that come to me, and choosing the ones that are the most important for me to fulfill. And an interesting thing about being successful in life is that once you establish goals and dreams and you're working toward them and you start to achieve them, once you're perceived as successful by people around you, you'll have even more opportunities. Success attracts more opportunities. And then it will be even more important for you to figure out what are the most important opportunities for you to chase. But initially, you'll probably find that the things that get in your way are the same things that get in the way for everyone, which is issues around time, issues around having the resources that you need to fulfill your dream, whether that means that it's more work than just you can do and can you afford to hire someone, those kinds of things. But I think the more compelling obstacles, the ones that really get in the way, are the ones that are self-created. Self-created. Why in the world would we create our own obstacles? But we do. We create obstacles through self-limiting beliefs. Self-limiting beliefs. What does that mean? A self-limiting belief is basically a repetitive, negative belief that tells you why you cannot do something. I'm not smart enough. I just don't have the right skills to do this. Oh, man, I'm just having a pipe dream here. This isn't a real thing that can be done. Nobody's ever done this before. Why would little old me be able to do it? Oh, I'm just not smart enough. I'm not good enough. Those kinds of things. Those self-limiting beliefs really are the things that get in the way of us achieving what it is that we want to achieve. Once we establish goals or have dreams, that's what gets in the way. So it's vitally important that you begin to realize the ways that you try to talk yourself out of doing the things you want to do, achieving your dreams. How do you do that? Well, I think you have to really become a great investigator into your own life, paying attention, noticing those self-limiting beliefs when they come up. You know, life is difficult. Who said that? Scott Peck wrote one of the greatest self-help books of all time called The Road Less Traveled, and he starts the book by saying, life is difficult and people are lazy. They are the two inhibitors to fulfilling our potential is that we have this unbelievable expectation that we won't have difficulties. Well, guess what? We do. You will. You always will. But once you accept it, that there are difficulties in life, it's not so terribly important. Stuff happens. Things come up. You have losses. You have small losses and big losses. Someone once told me many years ago that life is full of loss. Learn how to grieve. You have to. It's everything from losing your favorite pen to having a parent die too young. I lost my mother when I was 31. That's way too young to lose your mother. It's a tremendous loss. But I have tons and tons of little ones that happen all the time. So learning how to grieve, how to embrace those losses and say, okay, that happened. Here's how I feel about it. Here's what I need to work through so I can get past it is vitally important. Don't have the expectation of no trouble. That's not going to serve you. Learn how to embrace it. You know what? When it comes to making changes in our lives, because anytime you set a big goal and you start working toward it, chances are you are going to be confronted with the reality that you need to make changes. And if so, realize that it's really tough for us to make changes. We tend to take the path of least resistance in life. We tend to do those things that we can do automatically, that we don't have to struggle so much to do, that don't require so much change. But it takes conscious, focused effort and courage to challenge the parts of our lives that don't work, to challenge the relationships in our lives that don't work. But that's what we're here to do. You know, I remember many years ago learning about the concept of what real courage is. Because I used to think that courage meant not having fear. You know, that there were things that I knew I needed to do that I was fearful about. And I thought that if I was courageous, I wouldn't experience the fear. But that's not true. If you talk to people who do things that by all standards we would consider incredibly brave, firefighters running into burning buildings to save people, here's what they will tell you. It wasn't that they weren't afraid. It was that they were able to move through the fear and do what needed to be done. That's the obstacle. That's the biggest obstacle, really, is having fear about something and letting it stop you. Don't let fear stop you. Fear is a natural part of making change. Fear is a natural part of aiming for something bigger than you've ever aimed for before. That's normal. But it shouldn't stop you. It should be, if anything, motivating. Somebody sent me a quote about fear the other day. I do not know who said this. They didn't give me attribution, but here's the quote. Fear is a poison produced by the mind, and courage is the antidote stored always ready in the soul. Fear is a poison produced by the mind, and courage is the antidote stored always ready in the soul. And what is courage? Courage is the willingness to move through the fear and do what needs to be done. So that is really how it is that we can have a dream and move toward it. First of all, give yourself permission to articulate a dream. Create the time and the space for the self-reflection that you need so you can access your dream. Have the courage to declare it. Write it down. Share it. get a life coach to work on it. And then the second thing is be prepared for the most insidious obstacle of all, the voice in your head that tells you you cannot do it. Be ready for that. Be ready to tackle fear head on. Be ready to move through fear, to do what needs to be done. And if you want some extra resources around setting goals and achieving them, again, I want to recommend strongly that you pick up Ole Carlson's book, Aspire, subtitled Three Powerful Strategies for Creating More of What You Want Now. But I would call it the Dream Maker book, because that's really what it is. And I hope that you will get an extra shot in the arm out of this show tonight, and I hope you'll join us again on future shows. And I just want to send a very special acknowledgement tonight to my wonderful, loving, and devoted husband, Mark. Thank you for being the person who always, always supports my dreams. I love you. All right, be sure and join us again for more love strategies. Stay tuned for a final message.
Thank you for joining us at Love Strategies. Be sure and visit the premier website for single men and women who want to date smart, singlescoach.com. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get notifications for this show as well as other free dating tips. If you want a coach to support you in your growth and recovery, go to Singles Coaching on the website and choose personal coaching. That's it for today, and be sure and tune back in for more love strategies so you can date smart and find the love of your life.